My guest as a child used to fly. Really? Not only that, when she became an adult, the presence of God was so strong that literally truck drivers would veer off because they would see a cloud of God. Diane, I want to take you back as a child. I know you didn't understand these things that were happening to you, but you had what everyone wants, and you didn't even understand it. You had a relationship with God. You would speak to God. Tell me what it was like back then.
Well, I would spend a lot of time with the Lord when I could have been outside playing with friends, and I would sit with the Lord and just spend time with Him, and He would take me up in the Spirit. I would be laying out in the front yard and looking up at the cloud seed, and all of a sudden I would be on top of the house on the roof, and I would be looking down at my body, and I would think that I could fly. You know, I would think I could go over to the cottonwood tree by the curb of the street, but the Lord would just take me up and He would release such love to me. And I just spent time with Him, just resting in His presence, just resting on His bosom. And He loved me. He just released His love to me so much. It's a mystery of God to be taken up, you know, by the Spirit of God.
It's so wonderful, Diane,
yes,
to, as a child, and maybe that's what the Messiah meant. We have to be like a little child to come to Him. But
yes,
did people think you were strange?
Yes, they did, because in school, I would walk down the hallways, you know, talking to this invisible friend. And people would say, Diane, who are you talking to?
That was
to?
Before cell phones.
Yes,
were.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, and it was just so precious because He comforted me. And, you know, people thought I was crazy. They thought I was off the wall. But I had this friend who was always there, and He would never leave me, and He brought such comfort to me,
okay,
Sid.
Okay, let's fast forward.
Okay.
There was a horrible accident, and your parents went to observe what was going on.
Yes.
You went with them. What happened, and what did you see, and what happened to you?
Okay, what happened is a train wreck had happened, and we were going to walk across the, it was like a valley. The train tracks went across, and they were pretty wide apart, and I remember just kind of being afraid, you know, because they were kind of far apart. But my mother and father assured me that I could walk across them. And as I did, I looked down and I saw what was a hand that had been severed. And immediately my body started convulsing. The left side of my body started going, just jerking. And I was having a seizure. And so my parents, you know, took me to the hospital immediately.
And then this kind of began your entrance into the world of drugs.
Yes, because they put me on strong medications for the seizures.
And so what I don't understand, Diane, is as you got older, you decided, I want to experiment with the world. How could you walk away from that intimacy with God for the junk of the world?
Well, what happened was I grew up in a real strict Southern Baptist home, and we couldn't do a lot of things. You know, you couldn't swim with the boys. The girls had to swim separate, and you couldn't dance. You couldn't go to the movies. And what happened is me and the preacher's kid snuck to the movie one night to see Love Story. And right down from us was our youth pastors. Mm. And that destroyed, you know, everything inside of me that I had learned and that I had been taught.
And then once you stopped serving God, these nightmares disappeared. I don't understand.
They stopped.
Why did they stop?
They stopped because I was no longer a threat to the devil, to his kingdom. And what happened as I was growing up is I would lead people to the Lord. And so I was a threat in the devil's kingdom. And, you know, the enemy would come and try to kill me in the middle of the night.
But that all stopped when you went into the world.
It all stopped and never came back again until I got pregnant with our first child. And in the third trimester, because I had decided that I was not going to live a life of doing the things that I knew was wrong, the drugs and, mm-hmm. and alcohol and the marijuana. And so what happened is the enemy came again in that third trimester and tried to kill me once again. And so what happened was I cried out to the Lord that night because I didn't want my baby, anything to happen to my baby. And I said, God, please save this baby and don't let anything happen, you know, to this baby. You know, let me die, but don't let my baby die. And that was the first time that I realized when the Lord said, greater love than this, that no man hath, that he lay his life down for his friend. And I was willing to lay my life down. Well, that devil, that spirit, it was the spirit of death that had been assigned to me, never came back again after that. But I did not know that it was the spirit of death until many years later. And then I learned.
But then how did you get into drugs again and get so heavy into it?
Well, what happened is I was depressed. I became depressed in my life because things were not going the way that I thought that they should. And I ended up with the wrong people.
You know what? Diane ended up becoming a full-blown drug addict. She was like two people in church. She was, there's a picture, perfect family, but she was doing drugs big time. Don't go away. We'll be right back after this word.
We'll be right back to It's Supernatural. We now return to It's Supernatural.
Sid Roth here with Diane Nutt. Picture perfect family, church going, wonderful mother, wonderful wife, but she is an addict, a crack addict. Diane, you're ready to do some crack one day, and you hear the voice of God, and what does He tell you?
Yes, He tells me immediately. He says, Diane, if you do this line, you will die. And said, I knew right then and there that I had a choice to make, and if I made the wrong choice, that I would not be here in the earth any longer. And so I brushed the cocaine off, poured out what was in my vial into the commode, and started crying out for help to the Lord. I said, Lord, help me, help me. And all of a sudden I heard the back door open, and it was our 7-year-old son had come in. And so I got, you know, pulled myself together and got real straight. And I said, I stood there and I looked at him, and he said, Mommy, he said, somebody was saying, help me, help me. And when he said that, something inside of me just grabbed me so deeply. And so he went into the living room and he laid down. I told him, I said, everything's okay, Casey. Don't worry about anything. And he went and laid down. And then I called my doctor and told my doctor that I'd been up for 3 days and had been doing cocaine. And he called the ambulance, and then they came and they got me. And the whole time, as the paramedics came in and bought the gurney in, my son was asleep the whole time. And I know that the Lord just protected him from seeing his mother in the condition that she was in.
How did your husband handle finding out that his wife is a cocaine addict?
Well, he came home. He was out of town. A neighbor called him, and he came home and came to the hospital. And I didn't want to see anybody because I was so hurt and just hated everything, you know. Didn't want to be living. I had a lot of unforgiveness towards myself and just towards other people. And I didn't want to see him. And so he made a ruckus in the hospital because he couldn't get up there to see me. And so then the next thing, the hospital was calling the police. And so the police came and got him and took him to jail. And so then he had to call his mother. And, you know, here we were. I was in the hospital because of an overdose of cocaine. And my husband was in jail because he, you know, had made the ruckus in the hospital about seeing me.
So you work things out. You got back together. Everything's going fine. But now you're back on drugs again. And you get blackmailed by your drug dealer.
Yes.
And so a friend tries to help you out. and he goes to the drug dealer that's blackmailing you, and he's got a gun.
Yes.
But he didn't realize you were going to walk in there, and he's about ready to shoot you. And what happened? Accidentally, I mean.
Yes. What happened was I was walking down the hallway, and all of a sudden he said, "Freeze," and he shot off a .357 Magnum gun, and immediately an angel stepped right in front of me and kept me from taking the next step, because had I taken that step, Sid, the bullet would have gone through the temple of my head.
Diane, with all that went on, how in the world are you still doing drugs? You drive to your drug dealer, you get there before he does, you're in your car, and all of a sudden something happened. What happened?
I was sitting in my car waiting for his shop, waiting for him to get to his shop and open up. And I'm sitting there and I'm looking out the top because, I had a sunroof. And all of a sudden, the wind just started coming in the tree and the leaves were rustling. And I sat there and all of a sudden, I heard a voice. And the voice said to me, "Diane, what are you doing here?" And I sat up and I looked around. And of course, there was no one around. And the tree, the wind was blowing in the tree and the leaves were moving. And I said, "Well, I don't know why I'm here." And I said, "Lord, help me." And he said, "Diane, start the car." And he said, "And go back home." And so I went, I started the car, went back home, and called a friend of mine who had been in an accident a year prior to that time. And he had become a paraplegic. He had had an accident. Mm-hmm. He had gotten involved in drugs as well. And he told me, he said,
"That
Diane,
drugs is a horrible thing."
It is. And it's controlling. It's so controlling. It just controls your whole body. And God is the only one that can set you free.
Okay, so you're talking to your friend, and what did he tell you to do?
He told me, he said, "Diane," he said, "right now," he said, "when we hang the phone up, just ask God to forgive you." And he said, "And forgive yourself." And he said, "And know that God has a plan for you." And Sid, right now, I just believe that there are people that are watching right now that are their prodigal sons and their prodigal daughters and their sons and daughters that are just, they've been backslidden. And even those who don't know the Lord, and they're even smoking right now. There's someone that's even fixing to snort a line of cocaine. And I'm here today to tell you that God loves you with an everlasting love. And all he's doing is just telling you just to come to him. You don't have to be ashamed. You don't have to feel any guilt or condemnation. He just wants you to come to him and give him your heart right now because he loves you dearly.
What happened to you, though, when this friend of yours prayed?
I got off the phone and I got down on my knees and I asked God to forgive me. And for the first time, Sid, in my life, I forgave myself. And this peace, just a peace that I cannot even describe, it just came and consumed me. And the pain was gone. The desire to have more cocaine, it was totally gone. And I didn't even realize until several days later that pain that had been in my body and in my heart was totally gone.
Did you hear that? Supernaturally, totally gone, and such power radiates from her now. Wait till you hear the miracles. Be right back after this word.
We'll be right back to It's Supernatural. We now return to It's Supernatural.
Sid Roth here with Diane Nutt, and I am overwhelmed, and I've told you this on the telephone, Diane. When I talk to you on the telephone, this is the first time we've met in person, I can feel the presence of God. It's like, I bet it was the same way when you were a child, and it's come back now that the drugs are a thing of the past. In fact, you really feel compassion for people. You use it. There was this woman with all sorts of turmoil inside and depression. Yes. Tell me about her.
Yes, Sid. She was filled with resentment and self-hatred and anger. And as I prayed for her, the Lord began to just draw out the pain out of her.
And could you feel it coming in?
Yes, I can, and it's hard to describe, but you can just feel the pain. And you know, Jesus, He felt all of the pain that any of us would ever experience in life. And so that's not an unusual thing to do, because when you're moving in compassion and in the love of God, we should be feeling the pain of other people, but you have to release it, you know, to the Lord. And so as the pain was being taken out of her body, the joy of the Lord came into her, and she began to laugh and just laugh, I mean, and laugh, and got up and stood there, and she was so overcome by the presence of God. And then God healed her ear. She was partially deaf in her ear, and God opened up her ear totally. And she just began to leap and shout. And I was whispering to her, said, just barely whispering. And she could hear, not even speaking into the mic. And she could hear me. Every time I asked her, I said, "Can you hear me speaking?" And I was whispering it so softly. And she'd say, "Yes." And I asked her three times. And every time she just got more and more of the joy of the Lord just filled her. And so God not only healed her heart, but He healed her physical body as well. And a lot of times, the physical healings in our life come when the healing in our heart has taken place.
Now, this drawing to people, you tell me sometimes they're like spotlighted, and you even
yes.
know the place they're supposed to stand. Tell me about
yes.
that.
Yes, well, in our services, the Lord will begin to spotlight people, and I'll just ask them to move out. Sometimes it's just to stand out in the aisle, and the power of God will just take over them, and they'll begin to shake, and they'll begin, you know, they'll fall under the power of God. And sometimes the Lord will have me to bring them up to the altar area, and He'll tell me the exact spot for them to stand in. Now, I don't know why, but He will tell me, and as soon as they stand in that one place, Sid, they begin to be overcome by the power of God, and they begin to weep. Some begin to shake. There's just different things that begin to happen as the power of God overtakes them.
And sometimes the presence of God is so thick that it looks like a cloud. Tell me about that truck driver that time.
Well, yes, I was driving down the road, and I'd just been worshiping the Lord, and there was just such a sweet presence of God, and His glory was so in my car. And as I'm driving down, all of a sudden, a truck just totally goes to the side. Said did not veer off, but totally was pushed to the side. And I remember looking in my rearview mirror and thinking, "Wow, did I just see that?" And he probably thought, "Well, you know, what just happened to me?" Because supernaturally, his truck went straight over to the side of the road.
Diane, I know that same glory wants to invade the people that are watching us in their
yes.
homes right now. Will you pray for them?
Yes. Yes, I will. I just want to ask you right now, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, just to yield to the Spirit of God right now, because He loves you so much. And Father God, I pray right now in Jesus' name, Lord God, touch every person where they are right now, Lord God. Touch them in their hearts, Lord God. Touch them in their physical bodies. Lord God, just let Your love surround them. Just let Your love just encapsulate them, Lord God. Just as the mountains surround Jerusalem, Lord God, let Your love and let Your glory just surround them right now in Jesus' name. And Lord God, let Your glory be manifested to every person that is watching right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, Lord, yes, thank You. Thank You, Lord. Yes, just receive, just receive that. You're not crazy. You're not making anything up right now. The glory of God is touching you right now and is ministering to you. The love of God is just being poured out to you right now. So just come to Him.
Pray for drug addicts to be set free right now.
Yes, in Jesus' name. Lord God, I pray for every person that is addicted to drugs right now. Lord God, I thank You that the power of Your Holy Spirit just eradicates the desire for drug addictions, for marijuana, for alcohol, every type of addiction right now. I thank You, Lord, that it is being cursed, that the desire for those drugs is being supernaturally stopped right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord.
You know, Diane, something that just keeps coming to me as we're talking, maybe it's because it's so exciting, because in my notes it said that sometimes when you pray for someone and you just explained it, it's like you're pulling out of them in the name of Jesus all of the junk.
Yes.
And unfortunately, we don't have a live audience yet. We're going to have one soon, and you're going to be able to see I'm the only one here. Would you pray that for me, and let's see what happens?
Yes. Lord God, I thank You right now in Jesus' name. Lord God, I just thank You for Your anointing being released to Sid right now in the name of Jesus. Lord God, I thank You right now, Lord God, that as he stands in the gap and as he prays, Lord God, for so many, Lord God, I thank You that the pain will be removed from the hearts of people. Lord God, I thank You that peace will come to their minds, Lord God. Father God, I just thank You for a release, for the impartation. Thank You, Jesus. Ooh, thank You, Lord. Thank You for Your glory, Lord. Thank You for Your love, Lord. Thank You for Your anointing, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
And the Bible says, freely you have received, freely you are to give. And I just pray in Yeshua, that's Hebrew for Jesus, in Yeshua's name, that the peace that is in this studio right now, this peace is the presence of God. And this peace defies fear. It defies worry. It defies pain. It defies sickness. It defies anything that is evil. A sickness is evil. And so I pray in the name of Yeshua that this peace, that there's no human understanding for this peace. It's so wonderful. There is nothing that the world has to offer compared to the peace. This world doesn't offer peace. Things don't offer peace. The pleasures of this life don't offer peace. Only God offers peace. Not religion, but God. Intimacy with God. Intimacy comes from removing the separation between you and God. That's the sin, the drugs, the sex, the addictions. You know what it is. Tell God you're sorry. Believe that Jesus paid the price for your sin and make Him your Lord. Say, Jesus, help. Jesus, be my Lord. It's that simple. It really is.